I'd like to look at the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I'd like to take particular attention to the 15th verse. Ecclesiastes 1 and 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And the place from whence the rivers came, hither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereon it may be said, See, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come, with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth in knowledge increaseth in sorrow. Now, I believe Solomon was said to be the wisest man that ever lived on the earth. Of course, excepting our Lord, he was. And there was none like him that attained to the wisdom and understanding of Solomon. You remember Solomon was the one that the Lord had asked, what would he give him? And he said, he of all the things that he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom, that he might be able to rule God's people. And so the Lord gave him wisdom along with, made him one of the most prosperous, I suppose the most prosperous of all kings. And it gave him all of these things. And so Solomon had set out to explore all that there was to know and to understand. And he was a great wise man. And if you look at this, I've heard it to be said that his description of the weather patterns here was exactly the way the weather patterns worked. And for his age and time, no one understood that at that time. But Solomon had actually given a real good description of the whole jet streams and the actions of the winds that go around the earth. Solomon understood that and told about it here. He told about the cycle before anyone really understood it, that All the rivers run into the sea, and then they have water evaporates from the ocean, and then it goes into cloud forms and goes back over and rains again, and from which it comes again and goes back in a cycle. And he explains that here, all in that, and he had a wisdom for all of these things. And Solomon very much looked into the nature of things. It wasn't just for no purpose, but he looked into the nature of things. God allowed Solomon to see how things worked, even in the human heart, a human condition. He wrote many of the things that he wrote had to do with the understandings that he was able to see about the nature of things. He perceived things that that people do and why they do what they do and how they do them and what understanding it is. You know the scripture about like continual dripping? He likened that to a contentious woman. And said one thing about being on the corner of the roof. It'd be better to be on the corner of the rooftop than to be in the house, a broad house with a contentious woman. He was talking about the understandings that he had got. Those are pretty obvious things, but he had learned the nature of things. And Solomon endeavored that these things would make a difference in life. It was something that would be practical and something to be useful, that we might be able to guide God's people. That I could be able to take these understandings and learning. And in many ways, Solomon was able to learn that righteousness is better than wickedness. Wisdom is better than folly. It's better to be upright with one another. Your kingdom works better. It's better to trust than it is to be deceitful. And those things made a blessed kingdom. It surely did. But I think that Solomon had thoughts that in wisdom and knowledge, he would be able to give to the kingdom something. I think Solomon was disappointed, because there was elements that Solomon, in all of his wisdom, couldn't do. I think he was greatly disappointed that it wouldn't do it. I think he thought that it would make a difference in people's lives, and that the kingdom could come to a larger place, a deeper place, a place of understanding God and one another, and live in that kind of a place. Surely wisdom was the way to get there, wasn't it? But I think he was greatly disappointed that it wasn't able to do what he thought it would in the kingdom. It really wasn't able to do it. You remember the story, for instance, of the woman that rolled over in the night, wasn't it, on her baby and killed her baby? And there was another woman there that had a baby, and so the one that killed her baby took the live baby and put in its place the dead baby and took the other child. Well, Solomon had great wisdom in that. That was quite a thing that Solomon had done. He was able to perceive a way of being able to get at the truth. Who could know the truth? But he was able to know the very workings of a mother. That was wisdom that he used. So they brought the baby, and Solomon looks at the condition. One said, "This is my baby." "No, this is my baby." She rolled over in their seat and killed, so she took my baby. And the other said, "Not so. Her baby died and she's wanting mine." And so Solomon said, "Tell you what you do, get me a sword. Well, this is equal. We'll split the baby right in half and you can both have half a baby." Well, the one says, "Split it." And the mother said, "No. No, let her have it." And Solomon was really being able to see the nature of things, seeing the love and care of a mother, and was able to make a judgment there. But Solomon wanted more than that. He wanted to be able that things like that wouldn't happen at all. The wisdom that he wanted to give to his people was one that changed them from that kind of a thing. It must have been disappointing to have all this wisdom and still have your people acting like that. There was something that he wanted to be made more than that. Well, the 15th verse of this kind of touches on this. It says, "That which is crooked," after all that Solomon had said here about the nature of things and the way things work, then he come up with this very profound statement. Who can straighten out something that's crooked? In all my wisdom, in all my seeking, in all my understanding to know and to be able to get this wisdom, that I might be able to impart it to someone, that they might be able to live a life that is of a quality life and that means something, then who can straighten out something that's crooked? Do you know that the world is always attempting to straighten out something that's crooked? And did they ever straighten out anything that's crooked? Does law change the heart of a man? I say this, can you learn enough? Is there enough wisdom being taught in our world to change the nature of a man's heart? Can you somehow train up, make a person by wisdom and understanding, can you make a better husband out of him?
Can you make a better wife out of him by the wisdom that they have? How can we change something that's crooked? He said, there's things that's crooked in life and there's no way to straighten them. We looked it into this and said, we'll learn our way into euphoria. That's what they're saying today. Let's educate people. And if people is educated, we'll do away with poverty. We'll do away we'll do away with crime. We'll do away with a man battering his wife. We'll do away with all these things that affect. Does it work? Can we by intelligence or thinking or wisdoms or any endeavor of man? We got philosophers. We got psychiatrists. Psychologists, we got the great learned men of doctors and doctors of all the different kinds, and they struggle and strive to understand the inward workings of a man. They come up with all these things about this is what you're thinking if you have this look in your eye, and this is what you're doing with that, and I don't deny that they're doing that, but they always come up short of making straight something that's crooked. And they're not able to do it. There's no way that we can think ourselves into it, folks. You can't will yourself to be straight. Amen. You can't think yourself to be straight. Tonight, if you're not straight, you can't make yourself straight. And Solomon, in all of his learning, after understanding the motions of the winds, the cycles of weather, and all these things that worked out in nature, he concluded by saying, who can make straight something that's crooked? If it's crooked, it'll be crooked when it's through. We can't change it. We can't alter it. But all these things that we do, and Lord help us tonight, folks, we need God, every one of us. Amen. The very bottom of it is this: God's the only one that'll make you straight of any problem that you have, of anything that was made warped by sin, of anything that was warped by nature, of anything that in us that doesn't work right, dysfunction. You ever hear the word dysfunctional? You ever known of this? Well, I've firsthand experienced dysfunctional behavior. I've been dysfunctional. I wasn't able to cope with things. I didn't know how to treat my wife. I didn't know how to treat my children. I didn't know how to do with family. I didn't even know how to get along with the neighbor. I was very dysfunctional in this life. And who can make it to change? The world thinks that there's a way of being able to, someday, that if we continue on and we get the understanding. And I think about prejudice, for instance. There's a lot of talk about prejudice. I'm going to tell you, prejudice is an awful thing. God condemns it. God made all human beings. All people are children of God, created equally. That is, God does not, there's no respecter of persons in God. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to train people out of it. Amen. You're not going to train them out of it. You're not going to talk them out of it. You're not going to educate them out of it. Because it's impossible to make straight something that's crooked. Amen. But there is hope for things that's crooked. When Solomon was looking at these things, he wasn't looking at the, he was looking at the nature of things and the ability of man through wisdom to change those things. He had a desire that he expressed before the Lord, that he wanted wisdom to be able to lead the people. He wanted to bring them to a place he wanted his kingdom to be noble and upright. He wanted to do all these things. Do you know where Solomon found the greatest need for something to be made straight and couldn't straighten it? It was in Solomon. You know what Solomon learned above everything else he learned? This was the wisest man that was ever on the earth. Solomon learned that he didn't know anything. He learned how ignorant he was. That's what the scripture is saying here in the second part of the verse. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. After all that he understood and all that he said that, then he looked at it and said, I can't understand it. Look at all of this. It can't be. That which is wanting or lacking, that which is not made complete, not complete to my understanding, not something that I can get a hold of in understanding. It's wanting in it, and it's innumerable. I've looked at it and gained all these things, and the only thing I really did was I got the drop of a bucket. I got the smallest little bit of understanding, and everything else goes beyond me. I can't even see it or understand it. There's a scripture in, I believe it's the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes. I'll go ahead and turn there so I don't mess it up too bad. 7 and 14. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. All right, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Well, sure, why not? It's the mountain experience. Got plenty of money in my pocket and my health's good. People like me, got things going my way. Be joyful, the scripture says. Rejoice in the idea that all's well with you. Be joyful. Go ahead and praise God for it. Thank the Lord. All's going well. But he said in the day of adversity, consider. Consider, stop and think about your life. Think as Solomon says here in this, well, just wait and see if there's any, is there a possibility, is things going well for you? Do you have needs in your life? Is there things that's crooked in your life that needs to be made straight? And we're always looking for a way to straighten them. New Year's resolutions, for instance. They don't mean much. All those things don't mean much. They don't change much. There's people with fortitude. There's people that's able to have more power than others do in their persons. But does it ever really change the thing that's crooked? No. But in the day of adversity, consider. Stop and consider when things go wrong and you got problems and adversities hitting. Stop and consider. That's what it's for. It's to stop and say, where am I at in this thing? And it says here that he set one against the other, that man should find nothing after him. Now, if you want to look into the language of that, this is what it means. You're prosperous today. Tomorrow you're not. Then the next day you might be. And it might last a week, and then you might have adversity for a month. And God has set it in a domino fashion all through our lives that no man would know what's coming after it. You can't predict it, and neither can I. Only thing I know is that my life has been prosperity and adversity, and on, and it will go on just that way because God set one against the other. And a perfect example of that, in my mind, was after World War I, Woodrow Wilson was one of the main ones that pushed through what was called the League of Nations. The League of Nations was a group, was to all nations to come together after what they called the Great War. The Great War, World War I, was just a horrible thing, so he had a burden to bring nations together that would, and they said, and because of the League of Nations being set up, that it would end war forever. Did it? It didn't, because it was an impossibility. Because God set the one up against the other. Is the reason. Well, in just a generation, they had a bigger war than the Great War. Just a generation that was supposed to have been abolished forever. So after World War II, it started by FDR, but Truman carried it through. They set up, the League of Nations was a farce. It was a joke. So they set up, after that, the United Nations. The United Nations was set up to end all wars from now on. They said, this will be a way of eliminating war. Has there been any war since then? And there will be others. Because it is set up one after another. One, it comes in prosperity and peace, and then it comes in war. And God set the one to another that no man would know what comes after it. I have heard the leaders of our country through the times, especially just before this last kind of economic disaster, I heard men saying, and I've heard them say it a long time, that we're going to fix the United States economy until there'll never be recession again. It's never happened in the history of the world. There has never been a nation that so rose up that it economy ran all the way through, and it will never happen. God has set one against the other. It is all that way, all the way down through. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. And in Solomon's writing and wisdom, he finally concludes, there's too much that's uncertain. I've learned all this wisdom, and the greatest thing it taught me is that I don't know anything. It taught me that I'm not able to straighten out the crooked things. I'm not able to do it. I'm not able to alter and change my own way. I'm not able to change my own lust, my own desires, my own passions. I can't even control those things. I look and have all these wisdom and do all these things, and for the life of me, I can't get a hold of myself. Trying as I will, and I'm trying to get my people to understand if you'll behave a certain way, there'll be blessings on you. Oh, do we do that? Have we done the same thing over and over and trying to say, if you live this way, if you'll do these things, this is what will bless your life, and it goes unheard, unheeded. Solomon, no doubt, was disappointed in the whole thing because as he looked at it, his writings was disappointing when he said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's vexation of spirit. It's trouble. Every time I think something's going to be good, what does it end up being? Trouble. It comes up in trouble. So this says here in this scripture that all, it says, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Do you know really? Everything in this life disappoints you. Now, don't it? Be honest about it a minute and think about it. What have you ever really put your heart to that didn't disappoint you? Other than the Lord. It all disappoints you. Men strive to perfect entertainment. They strive to perfect it. I'll give you an example of it. National Football League. They alter their rules as they need to bring excitement to the game. It's a known fact. There used to be if you don't know about football, I'll tell you a little bit about it. But there used to be, they let the defensive backs that's against the receiver, they had let him come up there and just blast him out and knock him all over the place and all that. And it got pretty boring because the receivers couldn't go for a pass. So they made rules that would, you got to keep, you allowed to touch, you have a chuck, this 5-yard chuck, and then you got to keep your hands off him. And he did that. They all sat down and looked at it together, and those that do these kinds of things, and said it'd make the game a lot better and more interesting for the fans and more entertaining and more exciting to make this rule that would allow him freedom, and then there'll be more passes and there'll be more catches and there'll be more excitement, and they've done the whole game that way because their attempt is to perfect entertainment. They're always trying to perfect it. What Solomon is saying here, you can perfect it all you want to, and you're still going to be disappointed when it's over. In other words, you can get sat down and entertain yourself with the movies, and while you're doing it, you can get an easy chair and kick your legs up and get your drinks on one side and your food, and so everything will be all to the flesh, and you can sit there and do it, but when you get through with it all, you're going to be disappointed. And then when it all said and done, it's not going to do just as Brother Michael was trying to tell us. There's things that won't go to judgment with you and support you. There's things that when it really comes down and that last word said, when that final thing is said that we can't help you anymore, this disease you have has taken your life down to this point and there's nothing else we can do, I'm going to tell you there's no hope in that situation. There's no hope into being able to say that this has kept me now. Oh, if I could but just watch one more movie in this way, then I'll be set for eternity. It won't hold you at that time. It's disappointing. And this is what Solomon was getting at of the things it's wanting. It's lacking, folks. Entertainment is lacking. Sure, we like to be entertained. I like to be entertained. I like the things that in life. But what I tell you, you better be careful about where you put your heart on it because Solomon was saying it'll leave you. It'll leave you. You may love the excitement of that sport, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to hold you at the end of it. I've known people all my life. Maybe at one time I was that way too, but I've known people that get so wrapped up in the game. I'm going to tell you, only one team wins every year. I don't know how many teams there is, but that's how many teams other than one that's disappointed. And of all the thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of fans that's out there in that, there's a very small part of them that jump up at the end and say hooray, and the rest of them cry and bawl and have bad days for weeks. If they're real fans, they're discouraged till the next hope of the next year, and where they get disappointed again and again and again, and it's because he said it's wanting. And when your team wins one year and you shout and hooray, well, the next year they lose, and now you're down, and you're down more than you're up, because nobody wins more than they lose. And then it's all wanting. And when Solomon looked at it, that was his conclusion in it. It's not going to get you there. Amen. It's not really what brings satisfaction and peace in your life. And the things that's crooked can't be made straight. You can't straighten it out by it. Men try to straighten out the disappointments of life. They try to straighten out the things that's made crooked by nature. There's people that try to straighten out drug habits by wisdom. Drug habits need straightened out by the divine grace of God. Habits of all kinds. There's habits of lustful habits. There's addictions, and all this is prevalent in our world. And God's got an answer to it. God's got an answer to it. And the answer isn't in all the intelligence and wisdom of this world. It is in seeking God and falling before God, who has no disappointment, and He never has. God is always uplifting. God is always bringing us up. God is always fulfilling us. Oh, if we don't really get into it and we kind of on one side or the other, probably the most miserable life in the world is trying to live for the God on one hand and the world on the other. It don't work that way. But to really give our hearts to God, I'm going to tell you what, folks, He'll straighten out some places. God can straighten out some places. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, did not live in a time of the dispensation of the grace of God. And I believe he lived in a very disappointing time to him. 16th verse. He says, I communed with mine own heart. I communed with my own heart. And really, that's what we really all really ought to do. Because I can sit and speculate about everybody's life. I can sit and speculate about the crooked places in your life. The places that you've tried by willpower to straighten out. The places that you've tried maybe by other means to straighten out. Changing of habit. Those kind of things. Maybe the places that you're unwilling to say is crooked. But really that don't advantage anything. Solomon said he communed with his own heart. He went and looked and said, consider in the day of adversity. He come to this place of all this understanding and he said, I communed with my own heart. Did it bring me happiness? That's what he was saying. Yes, sir, I learned the ins and outs of human nature. Lord blessed him. Understood it. Of all these things, he had the understanding of how a mother would act with a child. He understood about how animals worked and made relationships to them to the way men do. And he made all these different things that he understood in life. But when he come down to the end of it, he said, I communed with my own heart. And you know what I found out? I found out I can be just as miserable as I ever was and know all this stuff. As a matter of fact, it increased my misery. Because I didn't have the power to act like I ought to act, and I knew it. And so it brought misery to my life. So I commune with my own heart. Tonight it would be a wise thing, a very prudent thing, that we would commune with our own heart. Amen. That we would look and take the wisdom of what he learned. Solomon was a man that did not withhold his hand to anything that he saw. He had the means, he had the substance, he had the servants. Solomon was a man that had, if I'm not mistaken, 700 wives and 300 concubines. But he said he communed with his own heart. Did they bring happiness? He wasn't experiencing happiness over the whole thing. I think that was one of the great vexations of spirit that he had. And I'm not being funny about the whole thing. If you look at the end of his life, you'll find out what trouble it brought him. He ended up in his old age, he listened to his wives and built altars to strange gods. After all that wisdom and all that he'd done, when in his wicked old age, he started giving in to these things and done things that was obviously displeasing to the very God that gave him the wisdom to understand that it was wrong. But he had no authority or power in his own life to be able to conquer the things that was there. So he communed with his own heart and was able to say, there's places that's crooked, and I can't make them straight. And surely tonight you can't straighten out the crooked places. But I say this, commune with your own heart tonight. And the problems that are in life are fixable. It is what's called the gospel. The good news. The things that bind and put into prison. And the things that we may have wrestled with for years and years, as being crooked and tried all manner of ways of straightening them. I'm going to say this of attitude. Sometimes we don't hardly think they can be fixed. Got a disposition about myself and an attitude towards someone, and it's so strong and it just feels good to do it, and I can't hardly commune with your own heart tonight. Is there some place, possibly, that's crooked, that the Lord wants to say this is a crooked place? It's not one of what we say, condemnation, but it's one of hope. You'll never straighten it out. It'll do you no good to go around it. It'll always be crooked. But God wants us to commune with our own heart and be honest and willing enough to say, Lord, it's crooked. God, help me. This is a crooked place in my life. And there's no way to make it straight. Lord, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to tell you, if we commune with our own heart, we'll find grace tonight to be able to fix the disappointing places, the places that have been made crooked by events and things and our own attitudes and places. Do you know that we teach this, don't we, through Adam? Bible teaches it, that through Adam we all have a nature about us that is crooked. Who can change your nature? Who can make a straighten out their nature? You know what crooked means? It's the same word, basically. Yeah, it's wicked. It's twisted. It's devious. It's not. That's what he's talking about when he says that. And would think that we would leave anything in our life that way. Lord, help us to commune with our own heart tonight. That the Lord would help us to be able to look in to our lives and say, Lord, you know I was hurt here. There's a place that I can't forgive here. That's crooked. That's a crooked place. It's crooked. I have a certain disposition towards somebody that can't. That's crooked. It's wicked. It's not supposed to be that way. I'm going to tell you, don't wait. Don't wait to think you're going to wear that thing out. If I live long enough, it'll just subside and go away. It'll most likely take root. It'll most likely get stronger as the years go by. Yes. He said, I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than they all that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart did great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Oh my, if Solomon come to that conclusion at the end of it and said after all of this that I've done, couldn't get there. The scripture teaches us that to control your own spirit is better than take a city. It's mightier. Alexander the Great was a Greek conqueror. Alexander the Great was a master in military of his day. And he conquered the known world. But he never conquered himself. Alexander the Great, one of the greatest or one of the most profound things that was said about him, or the most known thing that was said about him, is that he killed his best friend in a fit of rage. He couldn't control himself. He was master of the world. He conquered the world. But he never conquered himself. Because no man can make straight that which is crooked. Tonight, folks, you'll never conquer it. You'll never overcome it. You'll never change your disposition tonight. If you're not saved, you'll never do better by thinking about it.
You'll never overcome sin. You'll never be the husband that you should. You'll never be the wife you should be. You'll never have the ability to overcome those things, those lusts, those dimensions about your life. You'll never be able to overcome those things. But there is a gospel. There is good news tonight. God has made a way, and He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and rest. I know how to make... There's another scripture that says that. That says, who can make straight that which God has made crooked? But I'm going to tell you something. God can make straight something that you've made crooked. God can make straight something that sin has made crooked. It said that Jesus was made manifest that He might destroy the works of the devil. God can make straight tonight. That's my little message. If there's anyone in here that has a crooked place that they want to make straight, I assure you the Lord wants to straighten it out. You pray for me.